Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to the program. Hope everything is getting off to a good start this morning with you. We're looking forward to a great day at Eastside. We'll be meeting this morning at 9 o'clock and again this afternoon at 3 p.m. We're starting a special series of lessons with a guest speaker, John Gibson, will be with us today and all through the week. In fact, we'll be having evening services 7 o'clock each evening, Monday through Friday this week, and also morning services, 10 o'clock in the morning. If you're free in the mornings, you'd like to be with us for Bible study this week, please come. John Gibson will be with us. He's a very excellent Bible student, and I'm sure we'll be able to learn a lot that'll bring us closer to God as John opens up God's Word for us. So again, we'll meet at 110 French Way this morning, 9 o'clock. 3 o'clock this afternoon, Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the evening. Come and be with us. And if you can be with us, you can check it all out online. All of our services are live streamed on Facebook. Just go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama. Or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the media tab and the live streaming there. Come out and be with us this week for our special series of lessons, and I believe you'll learn a lot about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. John will be talking especially about discipleship in the evening lesson, so come and be with us as we think about being disciples of Christ. One of the things that we really appreciate about God, not only is his magnificence, his power, his glory, his wisdom, all of these wonderful things, his grace and his goodness. But one of the aspects that we don't often consider about him is just how orderly he is, how God just is one who likes things that are organized, that are put together really well. We can see that in creation, how wise he was in putting the creation together and how things work together in our universe according to natural and physical laws that he created, that scientists even today can rely on to make calculations to put a man on the moon or send an aircraft into outer space or whatever it might be. God is an orderly God. We see it in creation. And we also need to understand that he is orderly when it comes to expressing his will for us and explaining to us what he wants us to do to please him and to follow him in this world. So I want to think with you this morning in the time we have together on the program about the orderliness of God. The wise man in the book of Proverbs speaks about God's orderliness in creation in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22. In this text, Solomon is personifying wisdom as if she were a woman, and she's talking about how God used wisdom in creating the world. And so she says in Proverbs 8 and verse 22, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he had prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the earth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men." What we find out here is that God used wisdom in creating the world. There was a beauty to everything. There was a connectedness to everything, and everything worked together. God organized it in an orderly way, and it was wisdom that he used in doing that. God is wise, and that wisdom expresses itself in his word through order and pattern and something that can be understood by the mind of man and followed by the mind of man. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. That's what Genesis chapter 1 says. And then it says that God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created everything by his word. He ordered the world by his word. And so he is an orderly God. He's a great organizer. He's a great designer of systems. He's a great maker of beautiful patterns. And we see all of that in creation. We therefore would expect to see, and we do see, that same sort of orderliness in his word as he expresses it to man, as he tells man what is expected of him, as he tells man what to do to please him. God gives us his words that are easily understood, and he gives them to us in such a way that we can see the design of it, the pattern to it, and follow it. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says that every house is built by someone, but he who made all things is God. God made everything according to his design, according to his plans, according to his pattern for things. We see it in creation again, but we see it in the way he expresses his will for us. And that's what we really want to look at this morning. God has expressed his will for us, and there's a pattern to that. There's structure to that that we can perceive and we can follow. And all of us can follow the same thing because he's just given us this pattern that is understandable and is something that he wants done in our lives. The Old Testament is written for our learning. We, of course, today live under the New Testament of Jesus Christ. But the Old Testament was written so that Christians can learn things about God and his nature and his will for us that will help us come closer to him. Romans 14 and verse 4 says that whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. One of the things that we see in the Old Testament is this idea that when God spoke his word through inspired men, there were patterns to be followed by the people. There were things to be done and there were things to be not to be done. And you see this as Moses was talking to the people on behalf of God in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just leave it exactly like it is. That's an important principle to understand. And it's one, in fact, that Moses repeats in chapter 12 and verse 32, when he says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. Moses had been instructed to do certain things in certain ways, and he was sharing those instructions with the people. He was explaining to them that the pattern that he had been shown needed to be followed exactly. And he was explaining that to the people because Moses himself had been told that. This is referenced later on in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 8. You know, Moses and his law and the way that people were told to serve God back in that time, many of the things that were done, including the tabernacle, which was a temporary place of worship, several of the ordinances in the tabernacle, the way the sacrifices and so on and so forth, all of those things were basically symbols or shadows, the New Testament calls them, of things to come. And so Hebrews 8 and verse 5 says that those things serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things. So Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. And God said to him, he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So Moses understood that there was an exactness to what God wanted. God had a pattern in mind. He had a design for the tabernacle in mind. And Moses was to make it exactly according to that design, the design given by God. Even so today, our relationship with God has a design to it. It's not one that we've originated. It's one that God originated. There's a pattern to things, the way that God will have them be done. And we need to respect that pattern, the pattern that God has designed for his people, for us to follow today. I know this is strange and maybe foreign to many of us who think that it's just commonly thought that God's going to accept whatever we do in any old way we do it, and that churches can be whatever they want to be, and that I can serve God in my life however I want to, and that worship can be sort of this free form thing that pleases us, that makes us happy, and God's going to accept that. There's no indication in Scripture that any of that is the case. Over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, all throughout, God speaks His word. He speaks it precisely. He says exactly what He wants. He has a pattern in mind for us to follow, and we're to follow it. And if we don't, we're not pleasing to Him. Again, we see this repeatedly in Scripture. The New Testament teaches us this same principle, that it's important to do what God has said. It's important to pay attention to His word, first of all. Jesus Christ Himself said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We need to listen to every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Apostle Paul was an inspired apostle, one who was given words from Christ through the Holy Spirit, these words of God that he spoke to men. The scriptures that he wrote and that other apostles and prophets wrote are inspired scriptures. They're actually breathed out of the mouth of God. These are God's words. They're not made up by men. They're words that were given us by God. That's the claim of Scripture. If we believe the Bible at all, we must believe that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Scriptures are all inspired of God. The word inspired means God breathed. God breathed the Scriptures out of His mouth. And so when an apostle like Paul wrote something down, the things that he wrote down in Scripture were directly from God. The things that he shared with others by inspiration were directly from God. Of course, we don't just have to believe that. Paul backed that up by working miracles, and we have lots of other proofs for that. But my point is right now that the Scriptures are God's word. And in those Scriptures and in the things that inspired men said and did and wrote, we have a pattern to follow. So Paul will write to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, and he tells him to hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and in love which are in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you hold fast the pattern of sound words. There's something to be copied here. There's something to be followed here that I've shared with you. You hold that fast. Don't let go of it. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Don't adulterate it. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. We have then an obligation given to us by God to stick with the pattern that has been shown us, that has been told us by inspired men in Scripture. We must follow the doctrine of Christ. In 2 John verse 9, the Apostle John wrote that whoever abides in the doctrine of Christ has God, and whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. The doctrine of Christ is the teaching that originates with Christ. It's not just the teaching about Him. I know there are those that think that, well, the doctrine of Christ is the teaching that's just about Christ and who He was, but it's more than that. The phrase doctrine of or teaching of it typically refers to the source or the origin of that teaching. For instance, the Bible talks about the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Those were the teachings that came from Balaam, the teachings that came from the Nicolaitans. The Bible talks about the doctrine of the Sadducees and the doctrine of the Pharisees. Those were the doctrines that the Sadducees and the Pharisees taught. And even so, there's the doctrine of Christ. And whoever abides in the doctrine of Christ has a relationship with God. Whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. That's what 2 John verse 9 teaches us. So there are things Christ has said. We're to follow those things. There's a pattern to what He said. We must replicate that pattern. We must follow that pattern. The very nature of God, His propensity to plan things and to work them out in exact detail, exactly like He wants them, not only in the creation of the world, but also in the creation of our salvation, if you will, in his plan and purpose for our salvation, God has demonstrated a great degree of orderliness. You can read about it in the book of Ephesians, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse 7, where Paul is talking about the redemption that we have in Christ. We have redemption, he says, through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Notice God purposed to make known his grace. He purposed that in himself, and it was according to his good pleasure. Then Paul goes on to say that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Did you hear that? God works all things out, everything he planned and purposed, all that he predetermined, he works all of that out according to the pleasure of his will. God is an organized God. He has plans, he has purposes, and in human history we see him working out his plans and purposes to bring salvation to mankind through his son, Jesus Christ. It's really what the Bible is all about. But you see that aptitude of God for making plans and for being orderly in so doing. God is a justifier. He likes to see orderly things. He likes to see things that are straight. He likes making things straight, if you will. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, there the Apostle Paul says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you and I, we got crooked. We got crooked in our lives. Our record in his book, if you will, was a crooked record because we've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. But in the next verse in Romans chapter 3, we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Back down in verse 26, God is not only just, but the justifier of one who has faith in him. So God justifies us. That is to say, he makes what is crooked straight. That's really the meaning of being justified, the concept of something being made straight that was crooked. Years ago, this is before they would teach, you know, keyboarding or computers in class, before there were such things as computers, people learned to type on a typewriter. And I know this is ancient history to some folks, but you would learn to type on a typewriter on a sheet of paper. And your margins, if they were justified, it means that they were straight up and down. So both on the left margin and the right margin, if you had justified margins, the ends of the lines were even on the right side as well as on the left side. So your justified margin, it made that which was crooked straight. God makes that which is crooked straight. He likes order. He likes order in his people. He helps make us straight and keep us straight, and he has a way that is straight for us to follow. It's a pattern for us to walk in. It's a path for us to go in. So God, in his very nature, is orderly. In fact, the Bible says about him in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You know, disorder doesn't come from God. Disorder comes from the devil. Chaos is Satan's specialty. He likes a lot of confusion. He likes people to be confused about what they're supposed to do to serve God, about who God is, about what God expects of them. Satan just loves for people to be confused about that. But God's not the author of confusion. His book, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, it's not confusing. He's shared with us a way to walk, a pattern to follow. It's a straight and narrow way, to be sure. The way that leads to life is. That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. That it can be found in his book. And it can be followed by people who want to follow it. Let's notice in a number of passages of Scripture how that's laid out for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, And the Apostle Paul is dealing with some problems in the church in Corinth because they were disorderly in their worship. They were doing things. Some of them were speaking with a miraculous gift of tongues, and they were doing other things. And sometimes different people would be doing different things at the same time, and it was very confusing. So Paul straightens it all out. He brings order to their worship assembly, and he tells them, look, in the assembly of the church, when you're worshiping, just do one thing at a time. Just one person speak at a time. Don't be disorderly. Have some organization to it. Just do certain things and in certain ways, and do them one at a time. Those are some of the instructions that he gives them. And then he says, to wind that all up, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. He's talking particularly about their worship assembly when they come together as a church to worship. Now, how can we do everything decently and in order if no orderly arrangement has been given? But the fact is that God has given us an orderly arrangement, not only for times that we come together and assemble as a church to worship Him, but also concerning how to live our lives. There's an order to be followed, if you will, a pattern that we can find in Scripture. When Paul writes to the Colossian Christians in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. You know, even though Paul wasn't there in Colossae, he could see that the Colossians were doing things in order. They were sort of organized, if you will, and buttoned down in their spiritual lives. So Paul was happy to see that order, or their orderliness and the steadfastness of their faith in Christ. And then you see in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul tells Titus, for this cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every church. Again, this tells us that there was to be an order as to how things were done in churches. The local churches were not to be all different from one another. Nowadays it just seems like there's a church building on every street corner, and everybody just chooses their own flavor, what they like, as far as where they're going to attend worship or what church they're going to be a part of. That has no place in New Testament Christianity. Jesus Christ, through his apostles, has shown us a pattern for churches. We're all supposed to be doing the same things. There's no different flavor to it. There's just the pattern that Christ has given us. And here you see Paul, the apostle, telling Titus to set in order the things that are wanting. And part of the order he was to set in, if you will, was to ordain elders in every church. So churches are not, governed by boards of directors or presidents or single pastors or whatever it might be. That's not the organization of the church. That's the pattern in the New Testament. You have elders or bishops. Sometimes they're called shepherds. They're ordained in every church to guide and lead the local church. And they meet certain qualifications as laid out in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. There's a pattern to the organization of a local church. There's a pattern to much that the Lord wants churches to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul is clear about it. He says, for this reason, I have sent Timothy to you. He sent Timothy to the Corinthian church, he says, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Do you realize what that's saying? The Apostle Paul could and did teach the exact same thing in every church he went. How could he do that? Why could he do that? Because there was a pattern to it. There was something, there were things that were supposed to be done exactly the same form, for exactly the same purpose. Everything was to be the same way in the churches. People weren't free to make up their own way of worship or decide, what the organization of the leadership of the church is going to be and what form it's going to take. We're not free to do that. There's a pattern to those things, the same way in every church. Again, Paul will write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, and we noticed this verse earlier. He tells Timothy to hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. Paul, as an inspired apostle, had given Timothy a pattern to of sound words to follow. Timothy's not to let go of that. He's not to change it. He's to hold on to it. And then six verses later in the same book, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul tells him, "The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So you see what's being said there? Paul had given Timothy a pattern to follow, and Timothy is supposed to teach that same pattern to others who are then supposed to learn it and pass it on to others. That's the word tradition means something that's handed down. We are to follow God-given traditions, not traditions made up by men in human history, but traditions that God gave us through the scriptures. Timothy was to pass that pattern of words down to other men who would teach other men that same pattern. And if you follow the pattern down to the present time, then we should be doing the exact same things that Timothy was told to do, that Paul was telling Christians in his day to do, that Peter was preaching. That same pattern that people followed and were to follow in every church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, just a little bit later on then, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent and ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers." Well, the time that Paul prophesied of there has long since come, when people don't want to hear about the pattern anymore. They don't want to do what the word says. They want to, do things their own way. A lot of times people don't even know what the word says about what God wants in worship or how God wants churches to be organized in their leadership. We need to get into the word. We need to understand, strive to understand it, and only in this way can it be pleasing to God. Striving to understand God's will is not always an easy task, but there is a clear pattern to be found in God's word for us to follow. He gave it to us. A lot of people are going to twist God's word to arrive at their own conclusions and do what they want to do. The Apostle Peter warned us about all of this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Notice what he says. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to his wisdom, the wisdom given to him, has written to you." So Paul is writing by God-given wisdom, right? And then he says in verse 16, "In all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of scriptures." A lot of people want to take the scriptures and twist them to make them mean what they want them to mean. That's not how we handle the scriptures. We need to find out what God wants, look for his way and his pattern, and do that. And so that's kind of what Peter gets to when he says then in the next verse in 2 Peter 3 and verse 17, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." This is what we need. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, to learn his ways, to find his pattern for our lives, in the words that he has left us through his holy apostles and prophets in the New Testament. Won't you study God's word? Won't you decide that you're going to find out what it says and live it out? We invite you to do that. We encourage you to do that. Find that pattern and put it into practice. Follow it as you walk the way that leads to life.